So again, I'm Andrew Leung, and this is joint work with Minglong Xiao, Tim Bison, Shankar Pasupathy from NetApp, and my advisor, Ethan Miller. So as storage systems become bigger, they become more and more difficult to manage. The reason for this is because the management questions we're trying to ask oftentimes become extremely difficult or sometimes impossible to answer. This is because we're now bound to having to sift through what could be billions of files to find what we're looking for. And this management challenge is impacting both storage users and storage administrators. For example, a storage user may simply be trying to ask, where are the presentation files that I've recently modified? Or an administrator may be asking, if storage capacity has been increasing, which applications and users are now consuming the most space? And so clearly, it's difficult to answer these questions from a scalability point of view, but additionally, we need to answer them quickly, but there's also complexity to the questions we're trying to ask. So consider an example where a buggy script may delete a bunch of users' files. What we're really trying to ask when we want to fix this problem is which files should I be restoring for backup? Now, if I can't effectively answer this question, what I'm pretty much bound to do is take my entire backup and restore the entire thing, which is much more time and effort than is actually needed. What I really want to do when I'm trying to answer this question is have the ability to search my current file system, my previous file system. I'd like to be able to locate the files that were affected by this script and not just simply restore everything. And I'd also like to be able to find which of the files I should restore first. Not all files have the same priority, and it's important that I bring back the most critical files early and not later. So what is it that we can do to address this problem? What we really want to be able to do is quickly gather and search information from the storage system. To answer these kinds of questions, we need to be able to issue ad hoc queries over the properties of our files. And what that means is metadata search capabilities. And now when I'm talking about metadata, I'm talking about structured attribute value pairs that are tied to our files. Examples being the inode information that every file system will attach to the files, in addition to the extended attributes that applications or users may be generating. And the questions that metadata search answers are important. And so we can see that it's becoming more and more popular as metadata search has been incorporated into desktop systems, things like Spotlight, Beagle, and Windows Search, as well as even addressing smaller scale enterprise solutions. For example, Index Engines, Google Enterprise Search, and Fast Enterprise Search. Now these things address a small scale enterprise, you know, millions to tens of millions of files, but the question still remains, how can we do this at very large scales? How can we do this for a billion files? So what makes it difficult is that these large-scale storage systems present a number of search challenges that aren't currently addressed. So let's step through these. The first is cost and resources. A lot of the existing enterprise search solutions require dedicated external hardware. It'll simply oftentimes be a box that sits outside my storage system and indexes it. And what this means is performance is addressed through hardware. But as I scale to billions of files, I can't necessarily afford to keep adding more and more hardware. And if I can't address performance through hardware, what it means is I may have to actually put my search system directly into the storage system. And now I have to not only have not endless resources, but I have to share my resources with the rest of the storage system. Another challenge is, how do I gather metadata? Oftentimes, enterprise search systems are extremely slow to collect metadata because they're outside of the storage system. They oftentimes just walk the entire file system tree, which is not only tediously slow, but it impacts the storage system as I have to ask the storage system for every single file. For a large-scale storage system, I need to be able to collect changes on the order of possibly millions of changes per minute, and so we need scalability here. Another one is that of search and update scaling performance. The existing solutions I've mentioned previously rely on simple general-purpose off-the-shelf indexing solutions like a database that, while effective on smaller scales, may not be so on large scales. Most database systems are optimized for a different kind of workload. And while they have 30 years of optimizations, these optimizations aren't generally in the area of optimizing for storage system search. And so what happens is these lack of optimizations can have a huge impact on search and update performance when we're now trying to search possibly 10 to the 10 or 10 to the 11 metadata pairs. So to address these challenges, we developed a system called Spyglass. And what the goal of our system was to address these challenges by leveraging metadata search properties. Now in the past session, We got a lot of talks looking at how the properties of the file system and the workloads can affect how we should be designing these things, and that's what we took into account here. We wanted to build a system that leveraged the metadata query properties and the properties of the files themselves. So to do this, we collected a survey of users and analyzed three storage systems at NetApp, which we'll discuss a little bit later. To give a brief overview of Spyglass, it is intended to reside directly within the storage system. It is composed of an index, a caching system for the index, and a crawler to gather metadata. From our analysis of our user queries and from our file snapshots, we are going to be talking about four key components that are discussed in the paper. First is hierarchical partitioning, which is a new way of actually building and designing an index. The second is signature files, which is a novel way for executing queries in a large system. The third is partition versioning, which is a way of incrementally updating the index. We won't be talking about this directly in the talk today, but it's in the paper and hopefully should entice some people to go on and read it. And finally, we'll be talking about snapshot-based metadata collection, a way of doing scalable metadata gathering. So let's start talking about what are the kinds of queries that users actually want to be running. What we did to answer this question was we essentially asked over 30 users and administrators, what would you like to do if you could actually search the metadata in your storage system? And from our survey, we gathered a few key aspects that we wanted to actually build directly into our solution. The first being, users and administrators wanted to ask queries with multiple attributes. In a large storage system, it doesn't often make sense to say, give me all of the PDF files, give me all of my files, because there's simply too many of them. They'll issue complex queries that help them narrow their search space. And so an example may be, where are my recently modified presentation files, where there's an owner attribute, me, a time attribute, and a file type attribute. And so a good solution should be able to leverage the fact that we have multiple attributes in our queries to help execute the query itself. Second is users and administrators oftentimes want to localize their queries to part of their namespace. A lot of the times they have some idea of what they're looking for is, but not the complete picture. So they can oftentimes localize their search to only a part of the namespace, and what they want to do is be able to include a path, saying perhaps which files in my home directory can be deleted. And so a solution has to be able to build in this namespace knowledge directly into it. And the third piece was back in time search. A lot of administrator and debug style questions essentially want to ask, what's different between now and then? What we need to be able to do is to have versions of our index that we can actually search over so we can get answers that aren't just now, but allow us to do trends and historical kinds of questions. Moving on to the properties of file metadata, we gathered metadata from three storage systems at NetApp, one containing 15 million files, 60 million files, and 300 million files, and each with a different kind of workload. And from each of these systems, we found two compelling properties that were quite interesting. The first was metadata exhibits what we call spatial locality, and that is it tends to be clustered in the namespace. As you might imagine, perhaps my files aren't scattered all over every directory in the namespace. Oftentimes, they're localized to a small subset of the directories, perhaps those in my home directory or in the project I'm currently working on. Now, what this means for a search solution is it can leverage this information by building in information about the namespace directly into it, and in that way, potentially cut out the large portions of the namespace that aren't directly related to my query. The second is that of skewed frequencies. As you might imagine, in, for example, a web server, most of the files are HTML files or JPEG or GIF files. And so using, for example, finding all of the HTML files as a method to execute my query isn't going to be effective. What I want to do is I want to take that notion of people want to search multiple attributes and leverage that. So when we actually take a look at multiple attributes, we find that when we combine these or take the intersection, we get a much different kind of distribution. So as an example, in a storage system, there may be millions of PDF files and millions of Andrews files, but when we intersect these two, there may only be tens or hundreds of Andrews PDF files, orders of magnitude fewer. So the solution should be actually building this information directly into how it's executing queries in order to ensure we're getting good query execution. So now let's talk about how we actually design the index. The first piece is hierarchical partitioning. And what this is a method of building a namespace, or building an index that directly incorporates the storage system's namespace into it. To do this, we partition the index and assign each part of the partition to a part of the storage system namespace. And the idea now is that this idea of spatial locality is actually embedded directly within the index structures themselves. What it allows us to do is search the entire storage system at the granularity of individual subtrees. And so now, if I want to issue a query, say, for example, I'm searching for files related to my thesis, using hierarchical partitioning, I don't have to search the entire namespace. I can cut out different parts of the namespace, which are in different indexes, each shown with a different color, and only search the part of the namespace that's relevant for my queries. Now what happens is the search performance for this query is no longer bound to how big the storage system was, but it's bound to how many files are relevant to the query. And so in that way, it greatly enhances scalability, because even in a 10 billion file storage system, if there's only a small subset, a localized subset of files I care about, I don't care how many other files there are in the system. To do this partitioning, we use a simple greedy algorithm that essentially tries to do a first fit when inserting files, and that actually proved to be a pretty good solution. One of the goals for the partitioning is to allow efficient access to each of the partitions. And so to do that, our partitioning strategy aimed to keep each of the partitions relatively small, small enough that we can actually keep them sequentially on disk and ensure efficient access to each of the partitions. So what does this do for query performance? Well, query performance now becomes a function of how many partitions I need to search. If I only need to search one small partition, my query is going to be extremely fast. If I need to search every partition, it's going to be slow. So the question becomes, how do we determine which partitions are important to search? Well, there's two ways we can do this. The first is, as we mentioned earlier, users oftentimes can localize their queries to a part of the namespace. They have some idea of where what they're looking for is. And so if they can provide a path name with their query, essentially what they can do is control the size and scope and performance of their searches. And so if, for instance, I want to just search files in my home directory, it doesn't matter how many files there are in the rest of the storage system, I can just search my home directory. The other approach leverages a more automatic method. We use what are called signature files, which are analogous to Bloom filters. And the idea is we can actually exploit that property of attribute intersections to help us route the queries to the correct partitions. So let's talk a little bit more about signature files. What a signature file is essentially a summarization of what each partition contains. What we can see here in this example is a signature file describing the file extensions contained in a partition and perhaps the file sizes contained in a partition. So we make sure that we keep each of these signature files small enough so that we can cache them in memory, make them efficient to look up, and we create them as we insert files into each of the partitions. So what we have now is a way of figuring out which of the partitions are relevant to our query. If, for example, I want to search for perhaps Python files that are 50 bytes, what I'll do is I'll ask the signature files, do you have any Python files or any files of 50 bytes? And in this case, if the partition indexes both of those, there'll be a 1-bit for Python files, and there'll be a 1-bit for files of 50 bytes. However, if we're now searching for perhaps Perl files of the same size, if we don't have any Perl files, we won't get 1-bits on all of our signature file tests. And what happens is we can identify exactly which of the partitions we should not be searching. So we're only going to search the partition if we get 1-bits from all of our signature tests. Now, what this means is we won't ever get false negatives, meaning we'll always be able to find a partition that has files relevant to the query. However, we can get false positives. In the case of collisions, for example, C files and PowerPoint files may map to the same bit in the signature file. Well, we can get false positives where the signature files will be telling us you should search this partition when in fact there was nothing there that was relevant to our query. And so this won't produce any incorrect answers, but can cause us to look in partitions we did not need to look at. However, we can actually vary the impact of these false positives by potentially increasing the size of the signatures, which becomes a trade-off between memory consumption and accuracy, or we can actually change the hashing functions themselves. We can change the meaning of the bits. If we look at in this signature file describing file size, each bit actually means a byte range rather than a specific byte, or we can have multi-level signature files, which are discussed in previous literature. So now, once we've found the partitions we want to search, how do we actually find what are the files and the metadata related to my query? Well, each of these partitions indexes metadata in a KD tree. And a KD tree is a multi-dimensional binary tree. The reason we use KD trees, it allows us to do multi-dimensional search using a single data structure. With a KD tree, we have one tree that allows us to issue multi-dimensional queries over all of our metadata. If we were using something like a B tree or a normal binary tree, where it's one dimension, I'm going to need a tree for all n dimensions, which is going to have a huge impact on the space required to store the partition. However, we should point out that the partitioning method isn't directly tied to KD trees. Each of the partitions can actually have a different kind of index structure. And so as you might imagine, there could be some partitions that have frequent updates, and perhaps an update-optimized data structure is what I should be storing there. You can even imagine this could be leveraged by databases to figure out how we should be building tables. For each of the partitions, they're managed by a partition cache. The goal of the partition cache is to make sure that the frequently queried partitions are in memory. Performance is going to be bound by how many partitions have, and how many KD trees have to be read from disk. So we can significantly enhance performance if we're able to actually cache partitions effectively. So to do this, we use an LRU algorithm. The idea here is that we know from previous work in file system access patterns that there's always a skewed distribution, that there's a few files that are highly popular. And the same occurs for web query logs, like what Google and Yahoo see, that there's a few terms and a few areas that are extremely hot, but most things are fairly cold. If these ideas map onto file system search, as you imagine they might, there's going to be partitions, perhaps for actively worked on documents or current projects that are frequently queried, while many partitions are quite cold. Using an LRU-style algorithm, we can effectively utilize memory and effectively keep the partitions that are frequently queried in memory. And now what this allows is us to have a more effective way of utilizing memory in the storage system, which makes it a little bit more symbiotic with the rest of the storage system. So now we'll move on to talking about how we actually gather metadata from the storage system. What we need is a method that can actually scale to millions of changes per minute without degrading the storage system's performance. And so to do this, we actually leverage technology from the Waffle file system on which we built Spyglass. In Waffle, snapshots and metadata are handled using an inode file. And an inode file is nothing more than a simple sequential file that stores all of the inodes in the storage system. And so for a single snapshot in Waffle, it's just a simple file made up of blocks, indirect pointers, and more blocks. And each of these blocks contains inodes. And so what we can do is if I want to figure out from some snapshot to some other snapshot, what I want to answer is what's different. Well, imagine I have snapshot 1 and snapshot 2. And in snapshot 2, a file changes, right? Perhaps block 7 contains an inode in which some attribute was changed. What will happen is this change, because the inode file in snapshots are done in a copy-on-write mechanism, will cause the blocks in the inode file to change. And so what will happen is, because it's a normal file, those changes will propagate itself up through the block pointers in the file. And so we can actually quickly see which parts of the snapshots are different. And so now if we want to compare snapshots 1 and snapshots 2, I can see that blocks 9, 8, and 7 are different than they were in snapshot 1, and I can then crawl those to find out what's changed. However, I can look and see that blocks 2 and anything that it points to haven't changed. And what's important about this is that now when I want to gather metadata changes, my performance is no longer bound to, again, how many files are in the storage system, but they're bound to how many have changed, which is important for scalability. So we'll briefly talk about our evaluation. What we wanted to do here was use some of the actual metadata we collected and use some of the queries we got from users to figure out what kind of performance we're getting. So to do this, in this talk, we'll evaluate the metadata collection performance we just talked about. We'll take a look at search performance, but there are a number of other areas that we cover in the paper that we won't talk about right now. So for metadata collection performance, we compared to a simple straw man that walks the file system, which is actually pretty analogous to what is done in most enterprise-scale systems today. And for search performance, we compared to Postgres and MySQL databases, which were mildly optimized. And the goal here was to actually just simply provide some scope and context for the performance numbers we were achieving. So when we look at crawl performance, what we wanted to look at is a baseline crawl, that is, how long does it take to crawl the entire storage system, and then also look at an incremental crawl. How long does it take to only crawl files when a small subset of files have changed? And so what we'll look at here is our snapshot-based collection called SB, and our strawman example called SM, which is a parallel walk of the file system tree. And now what we see in the graph on the left is on the x-axis, we have files, the number of files in the storage system, and on the y-axis, we have time. And what we find is that in the baseline crawl, using our snapshots, we're 10 times faster in how we crawl the entire storage system. The reason being is that for Waffle, this simply amounts to a sequential read of the inode file. We don't have to actually walk the whole directory tree. And so we get a huge win in performance compared to a simple strawman example. And now when we look at incremental change, what we wanted to do was see how performance differs when we change different amounts of the storage system. So if we have 2% of the files changed, 5% of the files changed, or say 10% of the files changed, how does that impact performance? What we found is when we compare to a strawman example that will simply recrawl the entire storage system, we have over a 4-hour difference in how much time we're required to crawl 100 million files in this example. So what we find is that when we're actually simply comparing inode files, all we're doing is actually looking at a small subset of the blocks that have changed between two snapshots, and so performance doesn't actually become drastically impacted when we're doing this kind of comparison. However, for a normal strawman kind of example, we're again bound to the size of the storage system and forced to recrawl everything and then recompare everything, which has a huge impact on performance. So taking a look at search performance, what we wanted to do was take those metadata query examples we had and see how they actually work. And so to do this, we'll look at two simple examples. One that uses a simple two-attribute search, which is essentially saying for files, an example being how much space are my .o files taking up. So an example where the attribute is owner and the file type is .o or something. And what we look at here is in query set 1, which is shown on the left, we're showing a CDF. And on the x-axis, we have query execution times. And on the y-axis, we have the fractions of queries that were under that query execution time. And what we found for query set 1 is that 3/4 of the queries took less than 1 second to complete, even when we're searching 300 million files. Now, the idea here is that signature files are being used to cut out a huge number of partitions from the search space that don't contain both the owner and attribute values. And so what we can do is actually leverage that locality information to help prune the search space and increase performance. For our database examples, they can't leverage that. What they're doing is just using normal index structures to actually go back to the table and look, but there's no notion of the namespace or namespace locality built into that, and so they can't take advantage of that. For query set 2, what we wanted to look at is what's going to happen when we actually try and localize queries, when we actually provide a path name with our queries. And so to do this, we just simply reissued query set 1, but we included a path name for those queries. What we found is that in this case, in fact, all of the queries finish in less than a second, even though we're searching 300 million files. And the idea here is that we're explicitly controlling the search space for our queries. And what we can do is bound the search space to 100,000 files, a million files, even if the storage system is 300 million files. But again, for the database examples we're comparing to, they don't have this information built into them, and so they can't leverage this kind of information. And what we're seeing here is that for query performance, the idea of either explicitly or implicitly being able to reduce the search space by exploiting the locality information and the distributions of files in the namespace gets us a big win in terms of performance. So to summarize, metadata search can greatly improve how we're managing our storage systems today. But again, it's difficult to do at very large scales. They introduce challenges for how we can efficiently do it at a good cost, how can we effectively collect metadata, and how can we do it with effective scale and performance that allows it to be usable to our users and administrators. So what we looked at was how we can actually leverage properties of the storage system to build a better solution. And so again, we collected information from real users and administrators, and we collected information from real large-scale storage systems, and introduced some novel index design techniques that allow us to take advantage of this. And so I'd like to thank you guys for your attention and take any questions.
the speaker could please identify themselves, say the name and the affiliation. Thank you.
Stephen Spackman, Quantum. How do you deal with directory rename?
Say that again?
Directory rename.
Oh, so what we're doing right now is, in the simple example, we didn't actually talk about it too much here, but how it actually gets managed goes back to how we actually update the index. And so in Spyglass, each of the index updates gets versioned. And so what happens is over time we build up versions, and each version represents the state of the storage system at a different time. And so if something will get renamed when I initially build my index, it'll be stale for some amount of time and essentially inaccurate. If it gets renamed, the next version that I create will reflect that rename. And I'll do this over time. And what happens is that once I build up some number of versions, like in a versioning file system, I don't want to keep every single version. I want to have some way of effectively managing them. And so what we can do is actually coalesce these versions and merge the changes that we have. And so what will happen is those changes will be reflected in different versions and will eventually get applied to the normal index.
But if a directory is renamed in such a way that it moves from one of your indexing partitions to another,
yes.
How's that propagated to the contents of the directory?
So the partitioning strategy we're using now isn't strict. It doesn't require that for any partition, a file in this namespace or in that subdirectory have to be located there. It just has to reflect some ordering of the namespace. And so what happens is that we can have a different partition that will index that renamed file. What will happen is I may look in two partitions now instead of one to answer my query, but you'll pay a performance penalty, but you won't get incorrect query results.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.